morning, everyone. Welcome to church this morning. It's a lovely day to be here, isn't it? Friends, we've come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may give ourselves to the service of God. Let me start our time of worship together with a prayer, so please pray with me. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, it's wonderful to have Rosemary and Trevor back. Welcome back. And so after a couple of weeks' break from Romans, while they've had that well-earned break, we're back. And now we're starting to push into what it means to be saved by faith. And Paul's shifting from asking all those rhetorical questions that we've done so far into helping guide and equip us as followers of Jesus in how we should live. So depending on how you count, I've done a count on today's chapter, Romans 12, and I think there's about 40 instructions in Romans 12 today. This to me is one of the most amazing passages of Scripture. What Paul outlines here is what it means to be a body together. I love this teaching about who we are. For me, this explains what happens for us every week when we come to church. We're all different, and yet we're all united together as one body. What's amazing, I think, is that this is not an accident. It's very deliberate. It means none of us have all the answers, and we're all reliant on the people around us. It's a truly beautiful way for us to think about each other and how we're a community of believers together. So we're going to hear more on that from Trevor in a few minutes. We do have an amazing God who looks after us every day and in many different ways. So let's say this prayer of thanksgiving together, where we acknowledge our Creator and Sovereign Father and His goodness for us. So together. Gracious God, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given to us, for life and health and safety, for power to work, leisure to rest, and for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. But above all, we praise you for our Saviour, Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Before we hear Minette read the passages for today, let me pray for us. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. Teach us through your word and equip us for every good work, for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I'm reading from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 21. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will. What God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be back with you. Thank you for being mindful of us both and Jonathan whilst we were away on holidays. But it's, if you're visiting us today, a very special welcome to you. Those listening online, welcome to Abbotsford Anglican Church and to meeting with us today. Let me pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you gather together, us, your people, in obedience to your word, to worship you. To gather together to encourage one another. And so as we wait for that day, Lord Jesus, when you come and take us home, may we, while we be here, be the kind of people that you want us to be. We thank you that you've given to us your Holy Spirit who helps us. And so today, Lord God, may we experience him guiding us into truth and applying it to our lives. May we see the value of living life in relationship with you and with each other. Help me to teach your word correctly, we pray, and may we experience your spirit guiding us into truth. And we ask this in your name and for your glory. Amen. Well, please turn with me in your Bibles or on your apps or as your printouts or at home here to Romans chapter 12. And we're going to be looking at the chapter 12 today. And I reassure you that we're not going to look at all the 40-odd commands that are all in there. They'd be here forever, wouldn't we? The tempting, but no. So turn with me to Romans chapter 12. And we're looking there at verse 1 to start with of Romans chapter 12. And you'll see there it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Now, Romans 12 verse 1 acts as a kind of transition between what's gone before and what comes after. In a way, Romans 12 verse 1 acts as a link between what all the Paul has said in chapters 1 through to 11 and what he's now about to say in chapters 12 through to 16. And this, the link is, the key word there is "in view of God's mercy." And really that's what sums up the first 11 chapters of Romans is what is God's mercy? How has he shown to his people mercy? And there it is in those first 11 chapters. And chapter 12 verse 1 acts as that link there. Therefore, Whenever you see a therefore or a for in your scriptures, it really is a linking word to say what's gone before is important for what's coming afterwards. So therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And this is our response to God's mercy. Our behavior and our thinking that is like Christ. And Christ's behavior was sacrificial in his dealings with his people. So chapters 1 to 11 have been about how God has made us right with himself through Christ. And in a way, we could say that's about salvation. And chapters 12 to 16 are now about how to live as God's people who have been made right with God through Christ, and that's sanctification. Salvation leading into sanctification. In other words, now that we're saved, in view of God's mercy, how do we live in relationship with each other, with ourselves and God, and with each other as a church, and in the community and the world around about us? And this chapter is that linking through. So over the next 5 weeks, Lord willing, we're going to be asking this question here. In view of God's mercy, how do we live as people who have been made right with God through Christ? How do we do this? So there's lots of practical advice for us in these chapters coming up. We've had a lot of theory, a lot of facts and theory up to chapters 11. Now we're looking at the practical application of this sanctification here. So over the next 5 weeks, Lord willing, we'll ask this question, and in the weeks coming, we'll focus on answering this question with these sermon topics coming up. Next week, we're going to be thinking about, well, how do we live the right life in our community? And that's going to be chapter 13. In chapter 14, the week after, well, how do we live the right life when we disagree with one another? And how do we live the right life when we're hurt by others? And that's chapter 15 of Romans. And in the last chapter in Romans is how do we live the right life by learning from one another in Romans 6. But today we're thinking about living the right life amongst ourselves. And that's chapter 12. And so there's a saying, some of you may have heard it. Forgive me if I've mentioned it a number of times, but there's a saying that says, you can pick your friends, but you're stuck with your relatives, all right? You can pick your friends, but you're stuck with your relatives. Unfortunately, the little saying sounds like we're supposed to be disappointed about that, but I think it's a saying more about thinking about the appreciation of actually belonging to being with other people and being thankful. You pick your friends, but you're stuck with your relatives. You're stuck together. We are bound to a special group of people, whether big or small, we call family. Our relatives are family. They could be a family by blood, by adoption, by promise, and available for each other. We ought to be thankful for relationships that we have with one another, irrespective of what we choose to think or have decided about our relatives. And yet it is a little saying that we ought to be realistic about our expectations of each other's. You can pick your friends, but you're stuck with your relatives. There is a good little picture of the bonding and belonging to a family. We miss that, don't we? And there's a lot of people who miss that family connection that's there. We Christians belong to God's family, and we can pick our friends, but how wonderful it is to belong to God's family. You're my sister, you're my brother, I'm your brother, and I pray that we together as one big family, we're stuck with each other as a family of God. God's family may not seem big, but it is. And as we remember back in Romans chapter 11, like the roots of a large tree, our family roots reach way back to Jesus. And even beyond that to our Jewish ancestry, all the way back to faithful Abram We belong to a big family. For most Christians, our experience of his family is in this life, is in the local church. For us here, it's at Abbotsford Anglican Church, St. Andrew's. This is the little family of God that's part of God's big family of God. The first thing we need to, we're told to do in living the right life amongst ourselves by Paul is to be as Christ then to one another, to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to God by doing so for one another. And it's interesting here that it's now being made holy and pleasing to God that we do this. The offering of our bodies as a living sacrifice, if you just think of it reading, you might get the first impression of thinking of that being what's holy and pleasing to God. It is. But what Paul's saying is that now that we are holy and that we are pleasing to God because of what God has done for us in Jesus, this is the appropriate way now to behave and to be with one another, is to be as Christ to one another, to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. And this is not something we do in our own strength, but as we learn from back in chapter 8, God has given us his Spirit who lives not only in each one of us, but in all of us together. We are the body of Christ. Why? Some of you might know the response. His Spirit is with us. All right. So now being made holy and pleasing to God in Christ because of the gospel, we see our body and the Spirit works within us individually and corporately to see our body, ourselves, as a vehicle of opportunity. A vehicle of opportunity for the benefit of others. For his Spirit is with us, working in us to be as Christ to one another. And it really goes without saying, for we know that being like Christ to one another, what it will look like. For we know what Christ has been for us, and that's sacrificial. It's hard work. It's other person-centered at our expense, and that's normal. And that's what we're called to do and to be with one another. So we shouldn't be surprised if it doesn't come easy. It shouldn't be surprised if it's at great personal cost to us. For in view of God's mercy towards us in Christ, it was a great personal cost to him to bring us into friendship and relationship with him. And if we need any further reason to do so in offering our body as a living sacrifice amongst ourselves, Paul actually says that this is actual worship. This is the worship that is pleasing to God. We think of worship as what we're doing now, singing, praying and gathering together and worshiping God. But Paul says here that as we live amongst ourselves as being Christ to one another, that is our proper worship of God. God sees that as worship, worship of him. Brother, let me be your servant. You know the song, let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I might have the grace to let you be my servant too. In verses 9 to 21, Paul goes to gives us a long list. 40 is there, David? Almost 40. There's lots, and we heard them read to us there. And they're all practical ways that we can do that we can be as Christ to one another. And I've asked Janice to email to you all, and she's done that, with a little checklist on Romans 21, verses 9 to 21. And it's phrased in little questions that you can print off and put on your fridge. I placed our one on the fridge this morning as a reminder. So it asks us little questions. Go online and get that, print it off, and put it on your fridge and read it off. And, of course, all those little questions, all those commands that are mentioned there, I've put into a question form to actually apply to our lives and to ask to check our lives. Am I being like this? And I've found it really helpful for myself. So I hope you do too. Tell me, please. So can I encourage you to print it off and place it in a spot that you will regularly see? For us, we've chosen to put that on the fridge door. And it was lovely. My son, Timothy, who stayed in the rectory here for the last couple of weeks while we were away, actually asked a few weeks ago, because he's preached on the same little passage about 3 weeks ago, "Dad, you know that list that's on the fridge? Can you please get me a copy of that?" And it's really encouraging when that happened. He would most probably put it on the shower recess door, because that's where he normally does all his memory verses. The first thing we're told to do in living the right life amongst ourselves by Paul is to be as Christ to one another. It's sacrificial. We do so as ones now holy and pleasing to God. And this is our true and proper worship. It's appropriate behaviour. To offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God, and by doing so for one another, this is our true and proper worship. The second thing we are told to do in these verses, in living the right life amongst ourselves, is to think as Christ would have us think amongst ourselves, amongst one another. Verse 2 there, look with me there. "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." I take it Paul means here not to get our guidance from the world, but from God himself in his word. As Christians, we live differently to the world because God has chosen us out of the world to be his people. In view of God's mercy, we also choose to live differently to the world. A good definition of the Christian, of you and of me, is a person who belongs to other people, who belongs to God, who has chosen to live life God's way according to his word. We gather, as we do, like now, to learn and to do, to let God's word continually shape our thinking and our behaviour. It's interesting here, note there, that Paul doesn't use minds, plural. What does he use? He used mind, singular, there. I gather he does so to remind us of our oneness in Christ, emphasising that our thinking is to be of one body, with one mind, working together for the common good, for the glory of God. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if, and as we do, when we do that, putting God's word into practice in our lives and of being one mind, Paul then goes on to say, look, you'll see this. This is what will be revealed to you. Then you'll be able to test and approve that God's will is good. His good, pleasing and perfect will is. Then we will know with one mind what God's mind is on a matter. It's tested. And having tested, know and approve that, yes, this is the best way to actually live. That's what I take that little bit there is saying. That as we put it into practice, we realise that living life is difficult. God's way is difficult and it's hard, but it is the best way to live. And it's tested to see that it is good, pleasing and it's perfect of God to live that way. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. The second thing we're told to do in living the right life amongst ourselves is to be as Christ would have us think, to think as Christ would have us think amongst one another. Let's let God's word continually shape our thinking, one in mind, one in purpose and reassurance. The third thing we're told to do in living the right life amongst ourselves and asking the question is to behave as Christ would have us behave amongst one another. Verses 3 through to 5. "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ We, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Thinking with one mind, behaving as one mind. Paul actually turns first to the times when we gather together for church. He reminds us to be humble when we gather by considering the needs of others above our own. For example, to come to church with a common mindset, to first to give ourselves to others, second to get. And if we all did this, I think none of us would miss out, really, by receiving more than we had hoped or imagined if we came with the attitude of giving and not receiving. I've heard of some Christians who, on arrival at church, before they even walk in the door, they use the door as a reminder as they see it, as they walk from the car park or up the pathway, they see the door. On arrival, as they're coming to it, before they're even welcomed by the welcomer, they pray a prayer like this: Lord, grant me the grace today, knowing that all my needs are met in Christ and knowing you, to come today to church to encourage another in all I say and do. And if we all prayed like that as we came to the door, again, none of us would miss out, really, wouldn't we? We'd be overwhelmed with what could be received from there. Paul guidance is such in verse 3 to help us is to not think of ourselves more highly than we ought, more special or more needier than another, but to allow ourselves to not be drunk, so to speak, on our self-importance, look there, but with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. To realize that we are one body, each of us just as important to God as each other. And the word he uses there to help us to understand that is the little phrase, the gift of faith, the faith that God has distributed to each of you, to believe in him. Now, that doesn't mean it compels us, but it doesn't mean that some brother or sister has more faith than another. It's actually a reminder to us that in order to make us right with God, he's granted to us the faith to believe in him equally across all of us. And that's what he's reminding us. You've all been saved. We've all been saved equally. We all have the faith that's necessary to be saved equally, that's been based on Christ. Therefore, in the light of that, in the view that we are no more special to God than each one of us, Christ died for each one of us, then we behave and respond to each other in the same way. We are one body in Christ. Faith to believe and be saved has been equally distributed in equal proportion to all God's family. In view of such a distribution of faith, we go about using the various gifts that God has given to us in the life of the church. And here we go. When at church, the third thing we're told to do in living the right life amongst ourselves is to behave as Christ would have us behave amongst one another. When at church, here we go. I'll just click through those. That just as each of us is one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, there's that phrase again, in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. So, if your gift is prophesying, speaking of God's word to us, that's appropriate to the situation, then prophesy in accordance with your faith, remembering you're no more special than anyone else in accordance to the faith God has given to us. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Isn't this liberating? Isn't this wonderful? It's just basically saying if there's something you want to do in the life of the church that you would feel happy to please God with and please another, then do it. All right? Do it for him. All right? And if you're confused about it, come and talk to me about it and we can clarify it. All right? From little things to big things as well. All right. But also, at every other time when we meet together as God's people. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. During the week, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another, not just on a Sunday, but on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. This is not just a Sunday gathering thing. This is every day of the life amongst God's people, God's family. And behave as Christ would have us amongst one another and with all people. Verses 14 through to 21. Bless those who persecute you. Right? Bless and do not curse them. Pray for them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Be happy with them. Mourn with those who mourn. Your neighbour, whatever it might be. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not think of ourselves more important than another person. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And that little phrase can be misunderstood too. It's meant to be careful to do what is right all the time, so that everyone whose eyes are on you will see that you're doing the right thing. It's not saying do what's right in David's eyes or do what's right in Tina's eyes. It's saying always do what's right in the eyes of everyone to be seen. Right. Be careful. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. That's the aim. Live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath. For it's written, it's mine to avenge, God says. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. I remember being quite overwhelmed, quite worried about this little verse when I was a teenager talking with my youth leader. I was saying, but that sounds very mean, you know, putting burning coals on their head. Isn't that mean to them? He says, no, if you think of the Old Testament, does anybody know what that's a symbol of? It's a symbol of repentance, you know, and of saying and of realizing that they've done the wrong thing. So by us doing good to them and being godly towards them, being as Christ to them, the hope that is that they will see the error of their way and repent and come and say sorry and turn and do the right thing eventually. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's so there we have it, all those things. In view of God's mercy, how do we live as people who have been made right with God through Christ this week amongst ourselves? Be as Christ to one another. Think as Christ would have us think amongst one another, of one mind, one body, and behave as Christ would among one another. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, you command us to not only believe in Christ, but also in Christ to love one another. Grant us the grace to keep both commandments, that in all we do and all we say, be as Christ in word and deed amongst one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, isn't that amazing? We're called on to live so differently to the world. I think that's what those of us who were here last week heard from Stephen Gibson. If you recall that quote from Emperor Julian, who was so scandalized that the Christians were looking after their own poor, but then also the Roman poor. And so the call is really there, isn't it, to put all of this into practice, to be as Christ for one another, to think as one mind and act as one body. And if we take the spirit of that quote from last week, we can be scandalous in how that looks and feels to everyone around us. But it's thanks to what Jesus has done for us that through God's mercy, we've all been saved equally. And our song today is an expression of that unity that we have together as followers of Christ. So let's enjoy listening to it now together.
Sister, let me wipe your tears. Brother, let me bear your fears. Come on, every daughter, every son, let us walk in love, for we are one. Though we walk along a broken road, we are here to bear each other's love. Forgive as you've forgiven us. Let us walk in love, for we are one. We are one in the Father's love. We are every tribe and every tongue. We are found in the risen sun. We are bound to.
As believers and followers of Jesus, his spirit is with us. And part of that is then that in that relationship, we're told to not hide our sins from God, our Heavenly Father, but to confess them with a repentant and obedient heart so that we may be forgiven through his boundless goodness and mercy. In the words of Isaiah 55, seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near. And the prophet Daniel tells us that the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him even though we have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. So let us approach the throne of our gracious God with a true heart and full assurance of faith and pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. God desires that no one should perish, but that all should turn to Christ and live. God pardons those who humbly repent and truly believe the gospel. Therefore, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let's pray together with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Hand over to Diane to continue praying for us.
Almighty God and loving Father, we bring to you our heartfelt prayers for our damaged and broken world. We begin by praying for the United States of America as their election process continues to unfold. We ask that your hand will lead this result and that the President will seek your guidance in his decision making, and that a united government will restore peace and calm to a very unsettled and divided nation. We also bring so many parts of South Africa, especially Ethiopia, Somalia and Mozambique to you, for people to know you and for war, murder, rape, assault and dishonesty to cease. We pray for the people also in both Guatemala and Manila who have lost loved ones and all they own due to mudslides, with 50 killed in Guatemala. In particular, we ask you to uphold the people of France and Vienna who are facing a resurgence of COVID, as well as the violence of Islamist militants over recent weeks. We ask, dear Lord, that they will find comfort in you through your people and that many will be drawn to you as their refuge and strength at this time. Sovereign Lord, you know all things, and through all circumstances of life, you accompany your people. Prosper the work of those who are seeking a vaccine for the coronavirus. Protect and strengthen those who are treating the sick. Comfort the sick and those who mourn the loss of loved ones or are living in fear of this disease. Give the governing authorities wisdom in their management of this crisis, and grant to your people patience, compliance, and peace, generous and wise hearts, and a renewed trust in your sovereign goodness and glory. Turn the hearts of many experiencing fear again as its resurgence spreads, and anxiety to you, that they may find that peace which only you can give, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We thank you, loving God, for recent rains. After so many years of drought, we thank you that you have answered so many prayers, and for the restoration of all the green to the earth and life to those areas parched and burnt over the past summer. Thank you for reminding us of your goodness to us, for your provision, your care, your grace to us. God of the nations, we pray for Australia. Inspire and direct our leaders to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Bring many Australians to a knowledge of the truth about Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for us all. Loving Father, we ask for your power in the lives of Defence Force chaplains, that they are able to humbly support those in the forces who seek to find courage and comfort from them. Bless the work that they do, and may they see lives being drawn to you and your promises and the honouring of your name. We pray for the people of this church, both present and those at home, as well as those who have moved away. We thank you for the combination of skills, passions, and hearts you have given to us in your great mercy. And we pray that your Spirit will prompt us to step out in faith and utilise these gifts to serve each other and our community so that we may honour you with our lives. We offer our special prayers and supplications for healing and comfort to those who have been unwell or are recovering from surgeries. We ask that you continue to protect Jean Steele in her nursing home, that she remains safe from coronavirus. Continue to encourage and uphold Lynn and Graham Clark, Kay Woodcock and Max Schweitzer during this time of recovery and recuperation. Almighty and merciful God, of your bountiful goodness, keep us from everything that may hurt us, that we may be ready in body and soul, cheerfully to accomplish whatever you want us to do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
In terms of announcements, I wasn't going to draw everyone's attention to anything in particular from the news and notes. If you don't get that on email, it's always available on the website as well. And the checklist that Trevor mentioned in his sermon is also available on the website if you didn't get it by email. So as we finish today, we're going to say the creed together, so please stand. This is a wonderful way for us to show our unity as the body of Christ. So let's say this together. Do you believe in God the Father? We believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in God the Son? We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please stay standing, and let's encourage each other with these words as well. Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you everyone for being here today. I hope you have a wonderful week. And as we go out, just a reminder about our COVID practices. If you want to talk in the church, please just stay in your pews seated. If you want to talk in a more easier form, just go outside into the playground where it's a bit safer to do so as well. So thank you all very much and have a great week.